Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to eFactor Experiences H2 FY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameet Garg from eFactor Experiences. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Namaskar. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Sameet Garg, one of the co-founders and the managing director of eFactor Experiences Limited. We welcome all of you today for the earnings call for the second half and also the full year ending March 31st, 2026. I have the privilege of being joined by my very dear friend, the whole-time director and also the chairman of the company, Mr. Jay Thakur, and our very able CFO, Mr. Mukesh Agarwal, also along with our investor relations advisors from Adfactors. On behalf of the entire eFactor team, we'd like to thank all our shareholders, investors, clients, partners, and shareholders for their continued trust, confidence, and support that they've been extending over the past few years. The financial year 26 has been an important milestone, undoubtedly, in the evolution of eFactor Experiences, and this is something that we'd like all of you to please take a note of. Over the last several years, we've consciously transformed ourselves from being primarily an execution-led experiential events company into a creator of experiential infrastructure, cultural destinations, immersive tourism, and intellectual property-led experiences. And this is totally in light of the focus that the leadership of our country, including our Prime Minister, has started to give to the creative sector. So there is a lot of important initiatives. There are many important initiatives. There is a lot of effort being focused around all of this. Most of you know that today, eFactor operates at the intersection of tourism, heritage, culture, technology, and also public engagement. We are increasingly participating in sectors that benefit from long-term government spending, development of destinations, cultural infrastructure creation, and now also experiential storytelling. This transformation has been very consciously thought over and is being done deliberately. So our stalwarts historically have often used this line, "What got us here will not take us there." And this is something which is extremely relevant for us in today's circumstances because the way we've been conducting our business, the kind of business that we've been involving ourselves in, is drastically changing. And a lot of focus is being shifted to creating value for long term. And this value is not only value for the company. This value is value for all of us together, which is shareholders. The capabilities, the systems, and structures that have helped us build a successful business over the last 25 years now need to evolve and support a much larger ambition. Financial year 25-26, therefore, we would say, was a year of building foundations for the future. While we were focusing on doing our regular businesses, but we were also making substantial investments of effort and capital in aligning the enterprise to become globally competitive and define value in the coming years. India today stands at the beginning of what we believe is a multi-decade opportunity around the various initiatives that we operate in, including tourism, heritage, culture, immersive public experiences, and destination development. As governments and institutions invest in creating world-class visitor experiences, the demand for integrated, creative, technical, and execution capabilities definitely continues to rise. And this is sunrise sector as far as our industry is concerned. We believe that eFactor is uniquely positioned to participate in this opportunity, and our focus during the year has remained centered around these priorities. Strengthening our relationship and leadership position in tourism, cultural and destination-led experiential projects has been one. Expanding our presence in permanent experiential infrastructure, including museums, cultural centers, interpretation centers, and immersive storytelling environments has been second. And building proprietary intellectual properties in scalable experience formats capable of generating long-term recurring value, both nationally and internationally, has been number three. Financial year 25-26 was also a year of execution, investment, and, as we said, capability building. I think we witnessed a reasonably strong momentum across the tourism-led initiatives and destination experiences, including the eco retreats, other glamping projects, cultural tourism programs, tourism festivals, etc. We also continued to deepen our presence with the permanent experiential infrastructure segment, which we believe represents one of the most attractive long-term opportunities available in the industry today. And there are various global case studies that one can look at, refer to endorse this. This momentum continued in the financial year 26-27. Subsequent to the year end, we secured approximately 11 crore order from the Indira Gandhi National Center of Arts for the museum and statue of Babapu, which is at Wardha in Maharashtra. We also received a couple of other work orders for interesting projects across the country, which later on they may talk about. Financial year 25-26 was also a deliberate year of investment, and this is something that we'd like all of you to please note. We expanded our in-house team to over 75 professionals across specialized disciplines, strengthened our industry and technology capabilities, enhanced execution systems, and invested significantly in business development and the opportunity of creation. To, you know, a few observers, the expenditures may come across as costs in the short term. However, we urge you to please view them differently. These are examples of spending that look like cost but actually function like capital, because whatever we've done is to make sure that for the times to come, we have a robust in-house team that is capable of making multiple pitches, establishing a lengthier and a healthier opportunity pipeline for the company, and also lend world-class execution capabilities to the team. These investments are building our capacity and capability. These are increasing execution prowess and preparing eFactor to participate in substantially larger opportunities than those that we have historically been participating in. The year was equally significant for our intellectual property and experiential entertainment initiatives. Shiva Immersive show, the first of its kind that we produced in the immersive space in India, also received international recognition at the World Experience Organization Summit in London at the London Experience Week in 2026, and has now become a matter of global conversation. People from different parts of the world are already talking to us for the show to tour other parts of the world. Effactor also entered the international concert segment with a test run on the Dream Theater's 40th anniversary global tour, in which India hosted two cities, and we were co-promoters there. And it is also important for me to draw everybody's attention that during the financial year 25-26, we've been able to build the largest qualified opportunity of pipeline in the company's history. While between Jay, me and the other team members, we are currently toggling with an opportunity size of over 1,000 crores across the next few years. But I think for financial year 26-27, we are sitting on a very healthy business opportunity of in excess of 500 to 550 crores. And going by our past experiences of how certain uncertainties have, toggled these expectations, we are now being a little conservative and aspiring to achieve at least 60% of that number in the current financial year. We must also apprise you that while for 25-26 our financial top line was 190, we may have spoken in previous calls that we were anticipating a 225 to 240 crore top line, but unfortunately, because of the Western Asia crisis and what's been ongoing in the Middle East, two of our very large projects that were supposed to take place between February and March were postponed to the next financial year. So these are some things that, in the short term do affect our performance indices. But I think there are also lessons to be learned from this. That uncertainty is now a constant, and we need to probably more intelligently account for that in our business planning as we go forward. So this is a lesson learned, and I think we'll be more mindful of that. Turning to our financial performance back again, the company, we've already published, reported 191.44 crore, representing an approximately 11.5% year-on-year growth. We spoke that, this number could have been better had the Western Asia crisis not hit us. But one thing which is important for us to observe is that our profitability has remained healthy, and the last financial year gone by was consciously positioned to be a strategic year for us, for the various things that we were building in terms of our own internal ability. Our objective was not to merely optimize midterm profitability, but to strengthen the platform that we are creating where future growth will actually get delivered. We are also pleased to share that our wholly owned subsidiary, Skywalls Balloon Safari, Effector Adventure Tourism, delivered an outstanding performance during the year, reporting a revenue of approximately 11.2 crores and a PAT for the first time of 1.3 crores. This performance also demonstrates the growing potential of experiential tourism and destination-led experiences across multiple locations. Our balance sheet remains healthy and resilient, supported by a disciplined capital allocation and prudent financial management is something that is clearly demonstrated. Looking ahead, we collectively believe that eFactor is entering one of the most exciting phases in its history. The policy environment is becoming increasingly supportive of India's emerging orange economy, encompassing culture, creativity, tourism, content, immersive experiences, and the list goes on. As one of the few listed pure-play companies operating across experiential infrastructure, cultural destinations, immersives, live entertainment, and intellectual property creation, we believe that we are one of the most uniquely positioned to benefit from these structural tailwinds. To conclude, the FY 25-26 was not merely a year of financial performance. It was actually a year of strategic preparation. We strengthened our talent database, our talent infrastructure, expanded our capabilities, diversified our business model successfully, and built the largest qualified opportunity in terms of pipeline in our history. Today, in financial year 26-27, we see strong visibility of already a qualified pipeline of about 550 crores and our growing participation in opportunities around experiential infrastructure, intellectual properties, stroke IPs that derive better value, inspired by some leading case studies across the world. And most importantly, we believe we are building an organization that is materially different from the one that has existed a few years ago. The investments that we've made in financial year 25-26 were not designed simply to support the next quarter's results. They were designed or made to enhance the company's earnings potential over the next several years. We remain committed to disciplined execution, I think prudent capital allocation, and sustainable long-term value creation for all our shareholders. An exercise that most of the other companies in our allied businesses and are listed are not literally looking at. With that, I would now request our CFO, Mr. Mukesh Agarwal, to take you through the financial performance in greater detail, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Samit sir, and good afternoon, everyone. It's my pleasure to take you through the financial and operational highlights of eFactor Experiences Limited for the half year ended March 2026 and full financial year ended March 2026. FY26 has been the another year of the healthy operational and financial progress for the company. During the year, the consolidated revenue from the operation increased by 11.5% year-on-year basis to 191.44 crore, supported by successful execution of the large format tourism projects, financial infrastructure project, destination management cultural project across the multiple geographies. While the profitability moderated marginally during the year, this was primarily driven by deliberate investment in the talent, project infrastructure, and capability building. These investments were strategic in nature and are expected to support the large project execution, improve scalability, and future revenue growth. As far as we talk about balance sheet and our working capital, our balance sheet position continues to remain healthy. The company maintains a very prudent capital structure with the working capital borrowing primarily linked to the execution cycle of the large-scale government projects. Despite the continuing investment in the people and project infrastructure, our current ratio at the overall consolidated level improved to 2.08 times, while the net worth increased to 90.32 crores, reflecting the strengthening of our balance sheet and disciplined financial management. We remain focused on improving the working capital efficiency and accelerating the collection cycles across the project. As a part of these efforts, we are transitioning to the future large-scale projects toward the milestone-linked billing sector. This initiative is expected to improve our collection cycles and strengthen our cash flow visibility and reduce the working capital intensity and support stronger debt service metrics over the time. Our continuing investment in the technology, project management system, design capabilities, and execution excellence are helping to improve the productivity and strengthening our ability to execute the large and more complex projects. We enter FY27 with strong opportunity pipeline, deep institutional relationships, and increasing the opportunities across the tourism infrastructure, cultural destinations, immersive experiences, and experiential tourism and heritage redevelopment. The growing policy focus on the tourism, culture promotion, spiritual circuits, and experiential infrastructure development across the India continue to create the further long-term investment for our business. Before I conclude, I would like to reiterate that our focus remains on sustainable, quality-led growth driven by strong governance, operational excellence, prudent financial management, and long-term value creation. We thank all our shareholders, investors, clients, partners for their continued trust and confidence in the e-sector. With that, we conclude our management commentary I would now like to open the floor for the questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Shruti Sharma with Valorem Family Office. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, as the company is expanding across multiple geographies, how is management managing execution risk? Like, have there been any execution-related challenges that investors should be aware of?
Shruti, thank you for asking the question. I think the question is very valid, and that is exactly what we were talking about, that, you know, there's a lot of considerable focus that we've been giving on increasing the back-end infrastructure in terms of human ability. As we said, that while the pipeline is increasing, it is also important that we have rightly enabled execution capabilities at the back-end. So it is being done both organically and inorganically. There are some considerable collaborations also that have been now put in place, both nationally and internationally. So that if there is a sudden upsurge of being able to handle execution, we don't get stuck. And a classic case in point I'd like to make here is that when eFactor was executing the India Pavilion at the World Expo in Osaka last year, we went ahead to collaborate with a Tata company to ensure that the project was executed properly. So I think as far as the back end, both external and internal ability is concerned, we are very well ready.
Okay, and so can you help me with, like, how is the demand environment currently shaping up for the corporate events and MICE segment?
So the, you know, the total market size of the corporate events in India is approximately 77,000 crores a year. It has been slightly stagnant over the last few years, but MICE has now grown. The total market size opportunity of MICE in India alone is about 47,000 crores. But importantly, we'd also like you to note that corporate events and MICE is not our focus area. We have a few old clients who we've done work for some 15, 20 years ago. So sometimes they come back to us for some things like this because of the trust that they have in the enterprise. But this is a very different mindset, and our focus is not to build on the corporate event structure.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and all the best for your next quarters.
Thank you. Thank you, Shruti.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Tanvi Bhandari with an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. So my question is, the problems that we have due to which we could not achieve the desired revenue because, you know, as you said, the prices were reduced. So what, you know, what steps have we taken so such a situation does not occur in future? Because our nature of business is going to remain the same. So what steps are we going to take so that such situation does not occur in future?
So, Tanvi, the question is very valid, but I'll be very candid. The world is going through the same crisis today. Is there a specific answer? No, nobody has an answer. Because when global catastrophes and dislodges like this happen, everybody is taken a back foot, is in a shake of shock, and tries to understand that now how do we maneuver this kind of situation so that business suffers the least. Which is what I said when I was talking that, you know, a big lesson that we've probably taken back home this year is that uncertainty is now a constant element which prevails in any kind of an environment, and there is something that we need to learn from it. And do we have a solution? We don't have a solution, but the only probable answer is have a larger pipeline. So which is why we said that while we are looking at a pipeline of 500 to 550 crores, we don't want to base our estimates basis that number. We want to go a little conservative and say that, all right, let us say that one-third of that business will not come for various kinds of uncertainties. So we look at banking an opportunity of about 300 crores. So that's the only thing that we can do, because you can plan infrastructure, you can plan team, but you can't plan for episodes like this happening at a global level.
Tanvi, I would also want to add.
Yes.
A couple of things very important that, see, this whole thought of getting into the permanent space design and the experiential infrastructure business will eventually help us take care of such eventualities, because these are larger projects. They are not like events, the kind of project that we lost due to these kind of things, which are largely events. They are not these ongoing projects as development of corridors or big circuits and things like that. So that permanent infrastructure, once you get those projects, then they will continue to, there could be a delay in certain cyclical execution things, but they will not get completely derailed, and they will not get canceled because they are already under construction or under completion. Similarly, we are also with the immersive technology now and with the Shimai Immersive Show, what we are intending to get into is getting into the B2C space. So these kinds of eventualities, eventually, if somebody is in a B2C space, the consumer, when the stress is more, the consumer starts to go more towards getting relaxation or entertainment, and the industry starts to gain. So that is also one area where we are slowly progressing with our IPs, and even on the execution level with some more direct B2C interface after completion of projects from an operational point of view. So these are two very important developments that we are consciously building.
Okay. So just to follow up on this, so after all this, you've changed the strategies, you're looking on a bigger pipeline. So generally, you give us a confirmed order book. So if you could just throw some light on the confirmed order book that we have in hand. And also, is there any plans for increasing the business from private sector, as 90% of our revenue right now is coming from government sector? So just these two questions, if you could answer.
So I will take that, JP.
Okay.
The current pipeline, or the current order book is looking to be in the region of about close to 80-82 crores. Then your second question. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Second question.
Yes, Tanvi, what?
Second question was in terms of private and public sector share, revenue share.
So this financial year, yes. So there is a certain strategic call that we've taken on the inside, and I would assume that of the total number that we achieve this year in terms of top line, 25% of that would be contributed by the private sector. And we intend to, in due course of time, to balance it such that in about 2 to 3 years, the business opportunity and pipeline becomes such that there is equitable contribution, and dependability on one particular sector is not exposed to be left at maximum. So we are wanting to create 4 quadrants, currently working on 3. So private events is one quadrant, government events is the second quadrant, IPs is the third quadrant, and public infrastructure will become the fourth quadrant. So this is how we want to divide and hedge the opportunities in due course of time.
Okay. But just to follow up on this, earlier in earlier con calls, you've said that you don't want to increase the share of private sector more than 10%. Given the wallet size or the individual order size from private events is very less as compared to what you get from government. So now you've changed the strategy, it's already 25% from private. So is it the wallet share per a client is still very less, or are you pitching at larger events? Because I think in private sector,
you,
the event size would never be as big as
I would humbly respond to you that what worked yesterday may not work tomorrow. So there is learning, and it is also about how the markets are responding. It is also about how newer opportunities are coming to the front. So we don't necessarily want to focus on corporate events per se when we're talking of private opportunities. We want to now start focusing back on weddings because the nature of business has legitimized, and we want to focus on MICE where, because of our international footprint, our ability is way better than many others in the business. So this is how we would want to put it on paper and explain it here.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Riddhi Agarwal from Agarwal Family Office. Please go ahead.
Sorry?
Riddhi Agarwal from...
Yeah.
Riddhi, I'm really sorry, but your voice is breaking. We can't hear you properly.
I guess now it's clear.
Better.
Yeah. Basically, sir, my question is on revenue side. Like in last phone call, we actually gave a guidance of 250, as you said, and 30 to 40% revenue growth guidance for FY27. But now we have a business opportunity with pipeline of 500 to 550, which comes to 300 crore. So only 25, which takes the numbers from 250 to 300, we only are targeting 25% growth, additional growth this year. So my first question is like, what are where we are shortfalling from 30 to 40% revenue guidance we came to 25 or 23%? My first question is that.
You are saying that because we spoke of a 225 to 250 crore number and that number could not be achieved for reasons that we've specified, we let's say stand at 190, and if now we are saying that we are wanting to achieve a 300 to 325 crore number for the ongoing financial year, so how are you indexing the growth? I would index the growth on 190, and if you were to be indexing if we are on 190 today, then if that is fair, then what is the question?
That is fair enough if we are 190. But
190 onwards to 300, the anticipated growth is not 25%. It is much more than that. Or the targeted growth, it is not anticipated. I would say the targeted growth is much more.
No, definitely we are bullish compared to 190. That is 57.
Okay, put it differently, and this is how I would want you to understand it. Let's say the 35 crores worth of business opportunity that should have accrued to us in the last year gets shifted to this year. Okay, so that 35 crores worth of business is coming to us in this year, and I remove this from this year's kitty, and let's say we put it back into last year's kitty. So last year's kitty becomes 225 instead of 190. Now imagine that we are talking for 225 to 325. Does this answer your question?
Yeah.
Basically, your numbers are just upside down. My only question was that whenever the company is not able to meet a guidance because of global measures or anything uncertainty, so we actually become, as an investor, we become cautious. So my question was only for this, that we are currently bidding on 500 to 550 business opportunities, while our order book has also dropped down to 88 crore. So no, I want to make sure
order book
that
has not dropped down. No. One second. The order book really has not dropped down. Order book builds. No, we are just at the start of the financial year, and our order book is already so much. Why would you say it has dropped down? I would disagree a little with you there. And then more importantly, we'd like you to look at the whole equation in a slightly different manner. If you look at our performances and look at the different sectors that we are present in, do you have any case studies of these sectors in India? Unfortunately, no, you don't. and because of which there is no historic level of benchmarking. Who's creating the value? Who's creating the market price? Who's determining the market price? These are all large questions that we keep on asking to people when we get opportunities to interact. If you look at the way this sector is being built in India, then your example to compare would be how the world internationally is running.
No,
We think that we are.
I definitely get your point, and I'm not
No,
going to that trajectory of things.
What I'm trying to explain to you, Ritu, is that it is not just a pure play of the top lines and the bottom lines. There is a lot of influence of valuation matrices in this, but obviously it is your call. The lens with which you want to look at it is your lens. I can only urge and request that there are more lenses that need to be worn when considering an investment opportunity in an enterprise like us.
Sure. If I would just dodge this kind of a question because of the things you mentioned, can you just state which type of government orders got delayed because of which we went shortfall in H2 FY26? And are we expecting those? Yeah.
There were two of them.
Are we expecting those to come in H1 FY27?
They will not come in H1. They will come in H2.
They will come in
Because they are
H2. Can you give the quantum?
Weather dependent. Sorry?
Can you give the quantum of those delayed government orders which will come in H2 now?
35 crores, as I said earlier. Those
35
events
crores.
which we were to do in February and March got postponed.
Okay. No issue. Thank you so much for this. And my next question is that why don't we participate in big events, sports events like IPL? It does have so much customer concentration like this, and these are big events. So are we looking an opportunity there?
Ma'am, we do bigger events than IPL.
Okay. But we are not looking
What
for an
you what
opportunity
what
in
what
sports
you
events.
No, we do. We did the World Cup for Kho Kho last year, and we are going to be doing the Commonwealth Kho Kho that India is hosting this year. We are also gearing up for other opportunities around many other sporting events, but I don't think so we are in a position to disclose names for now.
Yeah. The Global Chess Olympiad we did, it was one of the largest sporting events that India has ever seen.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for answering my question patiently, and thank you so much, and all the best for the future.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Yash Parker, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, Yash.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. So my question is regarding our EBITDA. So what would you guide for EBITDA in terms of percentages? What is the long-term sustainable margin that we can make?
You've asked a very pertinent question, and I'm using the word pertinent because internally this is a constant chapter of discussion. Our EBITDA margins will reduce as we move along, Yash, because it is very clear the bigger the size of the company, the bigger the landscape of business opportunities, the lower is the margin. So today, I think in this financial year, we may very well be able to kind of move around the numbers that we have been. But as the business grows year on year, and by 2030, when we become a 1,000 crore company in terms of our turnovers, the EBITDA, I think, will find a lower positioning. And Mukesh ji, I think what is it that we are trying to focus on in the long term? What percentage of EBITDA we think we'll be able to maintain as per our last conversation?
It should be close to 14.5% that we talk about.
Yeah. So 14%-15% is a good sustainable number. And again, as I was mentioning, when we were talking to Tanvi, Riddhi, and everybody else, if you look at, it is important that we also benchmark ourselves against the right people. सो अनफॉर्चुनेटली हिंदुस्तान में अभी आपके पास बहुत अपॉर्चुनिटीज नहीं है ये फैक्टर को बेंचमार्क करने के लिए, क्योंकि हम खुद ही एक एक डिफरेंट सेक्टर क्रिएट करने में आपकी और अपनी खुद की मदद कर रहे हैं। सो चूंकि बेंचमार्किंग नहीं है तो इसलिए आपके पास भी बेंचमार्क नहीं है। मेरा सवाल रहता है, मैं पूछता हूँ कभी कभी मित्रों से, जर्नलिस्ट से, कि यार एक बात बताओ, आपने हमारा पी रेशियो 12-13 पे कर रखा है, कोई लॉजिक है क्या? मतलब इंटरनेशनली इस सेक्टर की जो कमांड है वो 30-40 है, मतलब तो कोई बेंचमार्क ही नहीं है। सो इट इज इम्पोर्टेंट कि हम लोग कलेक्टिवली वो सही बेंचमार्किंग की बात करें और उसके बाद कॉन्वर्सेशंस करें। हम तो कर रहे हैं, देखो हम लोग तो क्रिएटिव लोग हैं, वी आर डूइंग व्हाट वी आर वांटिंग टू डू। रोज रात में सोने से पहले सपने देखते हैं, रोज सुबह उठते हैं तो फिर लगता है यार ये सपने को आज ऐसे साकार करेंगे। हमारी लड़ाई, हमारा संघर्ष चालू है। हम थोड़ा से ऑर्थोडॉक्स से हम रिस्क अननेसेसरली आंख बंद करके लेते नहीं है। सो विच इज वाई आपने देखा होगा कि भले ही ग्रोथ कम हुई हो, पैसे गए नहीं, नेटवर्क के पर्सपेक्टिव से हम ऑन द राइज हैं। नाउ अनफॉर्चुनेट व्हाट इज हैपेंड, मतलब देश हिले हुए हैं उसमें, हम तो कुछ भी नहीं है। दी होल स्टॉक मार्केट इज गॉन फ्रॉम वेयर टू वेयर, हु आर वी?
And yes, yes, if you, yeah, so you also have to understand, see how we are shaping again, moving from a pure project play to a B2C segment with our IPs and related things, you know. These are things, while our EBITDA margins would be, you know, will be under pressure because of the large infrastructure projects and the larger projects that we entail to as we progress, but these things are will drive both the things. A, margins, because there the profitability is far more higher than one would do or one would get in a project. And similarly, also the valuation and the visibility for the company from a PE re-rating or a value premium, you know, the whole valuation of the company from a visibility to a larger audience connect on a regular basis is going to completely redefine this whole space. So that way we are very uniquely placed. I think perhaps we're the only company that is placed in this direction or in this platform.
Correct, sir. Right. So to sum it up, sir, regarding my question, so you are saying that we are almost somewhere around the long-term margins. So right now we are at 14.99. Long-term we would be somewhere around 14.5 or so.
I would say maybe a percentage lower. Mukesh ji, abhi hamara EBITDA kitna hai?
करेक्ट सर। सर सेकंड क्वेश्चन ऑफ माइंड इज दैट यू नो व्हाट इज द कंट्रीब्यूशन ऑफ दिस सोशल इवेंट्स एंड वेडिंग सेगमेंट्स एज अ परसेंटेज ऑफ आवर रेवेन्यू राइट नाउ? And how much do you feel like would it be, let's say, 2 to 3 years down the line, how much are you to allocate it to the total revenue of our company?
So Yash, as we were saying, in the last few years, our focus on private social events had reduced because the nature in which the business was running was not the way we would have wanted to work. The dynamics has changed. After the Prime Minister's vision and statements on Wed in India, the way the market is responding to legitimate adoption of processes encourages us to come back to that business, which at one point in time we used to sit on top of. So 3 years down the line, we would have wedding business back into our kitty in excess of 100 crores is what I can easily tell you. And the process will begin this year.
Right, sir. And I just want to talk about industry as well. So how do you see at the current point of time the industry evolving in terms of production as well as the for the use of AI as well? So how are we are we leveraging AI? How is it?
So yes, eFactor is making considerable headway in embracing artificial intelligence in more than many ways. there is something extremely proprietary. We can't talk about to you. We can't talk to you about that just now. But thoda sa patiently wait kariye.
Correct, sir. Correct. So last question mera hai. How are we positioning ourselves and हमें क्या बेनिफिट मिल रहा है फ्रॉम यू नो इंडिया स्पिरिचुअल एंड कल्चरल टूरिज्म विच द गवर्नमेंट इज प्रमोटिंग तो आर वी लाइक इन अ बेटर पोजीशन हाउ डू यू सी दैट एज वेल
आई रिक्वेस्ट जय टू टेक दैट क्वेश्चन
यश इफ यू सी द होल लैंडस्केप ऑन स्पिरिचुअल टूरिज्म एंड डेवलपमेंट ऑफ कॉरिडोर्स एंड थिंग्स लाइक दैट देयर आर और इवन द अर्बन चैलेंज फंड यू नो सो द होल government allocation is almost more than 100,000 crores, you know, of these things. So the development focus is extensively there and massive circuits are in the build-up. Now when these circuits are being built up, of course, there is a lot of basic infrastructure, which is roads, bridges, flyovers, or, you know, basic amenities and things like that. But eventually, a destination cannot be created just by making an access to it. Or just facilitating it with basic facilities. The whole thing is that every development has to have a lot of experiential input, a lot of storytelling, and a lot of educational, typical entertainment-based education involved into it. Now, each one of these projects will at least have a 20 to 25% contribution to these things, which include experience centers, which include sculptures, big installations, which includes multimedia shows, AR, VR, technology-based shows and things like that. So everywhere, wherever these experiences have to happen. So if you see the whole industry, the diaspora is almost worth 25,000-30,000 crores, which is there in scattered all across the country. So if we even target, you know, even 10% of it, you know, even 5% of it, and even lower. It's a substantial amount. And that is what we are primarily targeting also. So we are extensively working on projects in Madhya Pradesh, in Uttar Pradesh, and Maharashtra as well, where large spending is happening on this, and even Andhra Pradesh for that matter. So all of these places, they have a lot of impetus on these developments. And our pipeline is heavily loaded with such opportunities.
Correct, sir. And so last question from my side, I am actually sort of new for this particular sector, but like, are we facing some sort of, let's say, competition from Zomato coming out with District for events and sports and various shows? How is it like compared to that particular company?
Well, there is no comparison at all, yes, because Zomato and District are ticketing platforms. हम लोग नहीं होंगे तो उनके धंधे बंद हो जाएंगे
करेक्ट ओके सर
या बिकॉज यू सी व्हाट दे टिकेट व्हाट दे प्रोड्यूस देमसेल्व्स इज नॉट इवन 2 or 3% ऑफ देयर टॉप लाइन दे टेक टू टिकेटिंग इवेंट्स दैट पीपल लाइक अस डू
राइट सर दैट आंसर्स माय क्वेश्चंस इफ आई हैव एनीथिंग आई विल जॉइन बैक द क्यू थैंक यू सो मच सर
थैंक यू
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Samit Garg for the closing remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
I request my friend and chairman, Mr. Jay Thakur, for the closing remark, please.
Thank you, SG. I would like to first thank everyone that participated so actively and we just want to end this call with one promise that this company, with such unique positioning and deliverables that it is designed or getting designed to be, we have a very, very bright future. We are sitting at a cusp of such opportunities where our positioning from design to execution to operating and maintenance to finally getting into the B2C space is a proposition that is so unique to us. And currently doesn't have players in competition. All that is requested and we would urge is that please have faith, confidence in us. Do some study on the overall market size and the opportunities are there. And you will see that even if we put or go full throttle and over-deliver, still we would be just a very, very insignificant player in the whole proposition in terms of the numbers that one can. So we are sitting at a sea of opportunities and just like बोलते हैं ना कि जितना जितनी जमीन नाप सकते हो उतनी आपकी हो सकती है. दैट इज वेयर वी आर करेंटली एंड वी जस्ट होप दैट यू ऑल स्टे विद अस एंड कंटिन्यू टू सपोर्ट अस. थैंक यू सो मच.
थैंक यू सर. लेडीज एंड जेंटलमैन, ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ इफेक्ट एक्सपीरियंसेस दैट कंक्लूड दिस कॉन्फ्रेंस, थैंक यू फॉर जॉइनिंग अस एंड यू मे नाउ डिस्कनेक्ट योर लाइंस.
Thank you.
Thank you.